And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. And this is the show where we want to challenge, encourage you, and most of all, get you to think. We want you to think about things from a different angle. We want to get you to think about things you've probably never thought about before. But most of all, we want you to get you to think about things for yourself. Don't take anyone else's word for it. Find out why you believe what you believe for yourself, and you will have a firm foundation when you examine the scriptures, when you're not relying on someone else's interpretation. Tonight, just because it's October, I thought it'd be a good idea to examine some of the spooky stuff that's always going on during October. And joining us is Ron Rhodes. He's president of Reasoning from the Scriptures Ministry, a great title for a ministry, by the way, sir. I love the title for your ministry. And he's written several books, and one of the books that he just wrote was The Truth Behind Ghosts, Mediums, and Psychic Phenomenon, and that's what we're going to examine tonight. So, Mr. Rhodes, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Yeah, it's just a big pleasure to have you here on the show with us, and hopefully we'll get some people to call in and ask you some questions about exactly what's going on so far as the paranormal and spiritual world goes. And if you would like to call in and ask Mr. Rhodes a question, by all means, give us a call, 505-338-5790. And Mr. Rhodes, I want to start off with a quote from your book where it said, among church-going teenagers, only 28% say they've been taught anything to help shape their views of the supernatural world. Now, when I read that, out of everything that I read in your book, and by the way, your book is just chock full of information, and I really liked how you wrote it in a way that repeated information so people could pick up on it, and you know they didn't forget stuff from previous chapters. So very well written. But why do you think teenagers aren't being taught anything about the paranormal, supernatural world? What is it that we're so afraid of that we don't want to teach our teenagers anything about the supernatural?
Well, you know, it boggles my mind because psychic phenomena is so huge today. It's not just huge among adults, but as I point out in the book, it's huge among our youth. You know, 73% of our youth today have participated in psychic activities. And just think about that for a minute. That's 3 out of every 4 teenagers.
Wow.
That means if you've got a room of 1,000 teenagers, 750 of them have messed around with psychic phenomena. And the statistic that you quoted, you know, among church-going teenagers, only 28% say they've been taught anything at church to help shape their views of the supernatural world. That just boggles my mind.
Boggles my mind.
Well, what's going on in our churches?
Yeah.
Exactly what's going on in our churches. I mean, the church is supposed to be there to equip people, to train people, to help them to impact the culture. But in many ways, it seems more like the culture is impacting and molding the church, which is just the opposite of the way that it should be. And I'm not really sure why there are so many youth pastors who are ignoring this. I've got to assume either they're just ignorant of the phenomena, or perhaps they're still just following the basic educational programs that they learned back in seminary on what to teach your students. But you've got to keep your hand or your finger on the pulse of what's going on in religious America. You know, you've got to keep your finger on the pulse of what our teenagers are doing, because this is exploding. I mean, this is huge. 3 out of every 4 teens are messing around with psychic phenomena. And so I think we really need to stop and think, you know, what are we doing wrong in the church?
Well, I noticed in your little biography sketch that you went to Dallas Theological Seminary, and you mentioned maybe people who are going to seminary just, you know, going through the motions of what they're taught. What is taught at seminary when it comes to this? And before you answer, 505-338-5790. If you have questions about ghosts, mediums, and psychic phenomena, we're here to take your questions about all that and hopefully get you an answer straight from God's Word. So back to the question, Mr. Rhodes, what is being taught in seminary when it comes to the supernatural phenomenon?
Well, very little, in fact. Now, I happen to have gotten a good education in Dallas. In fact, my primary teacher was Dr. Norman Geisler, who is one of the premier apologists today. But not everybody has that opportunity. In most seminaries, apologetic issues are not being taught. And by apologetics, I mean, you know, issues that relate to defending Christianity from different things, including the world of the occult and psychic phenomena, and what we call the paranormal. Paranormal is just a fancy word that means beyond the normal, beyond what science teaches us. And so when you're talking about ghosts, that's paranormal because it's beyond what science really teaches. And so in seminary, I had a pretty good education, but most seminaries don't teach anything about this. And what that means, basically, is that when you have pastors going out to churches and youth pastors heading up youth departments, they don't have the foggiest idea what they're doing in terms of meeting some of these current, you know, needs that have come upon the, you know, our culture today. And, you know, you've really got to be kind of like a medical doctor in a way. A medical doctor doesn't just go to medical school and that's the end of it. He keeps up on things by reading medical journals and keeping up on reports of new diseases coming down the road, you know, like this bird flu that's coming around, you know, stuff like that. You've got to continually educate yourself on what's going on so that you can be the best that you can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our youth pastors are missing, I think. You know, I think that you really need to watch in our society to see what's going on among our youth, and you've got to reach them. Because you know what? Our youth are playing with fire, and they don't even know it. They don't know that by messing around with Ouija boards and having your palms read or messing around with tarot cards and stuff like that, you're opening up yourself to the world of the occult, and that is a nasty experience.
Right. And I thought it was really interesting how you pointed out, and quite frankly, I was ignorant of this myself, just how mainstream psychics and mediums and contacting the dead and all this type of stuff has become. This is an area that I never gave a whole lot of thought. You know, I knew it existed. I knew that it was something that, you know, I didn't want to mess with, but at the same time didn't want to be totally ignorant of. And so I thought I was maintaining a healthy balance. And then I read your book and I realized, wow, this is becoming very mainstream, even in the church. And I think that's really what pricked my interest right there. I was like, man, this is pretty serious if it's not just a mainstream part of our culture, but it's also seeping into the church as well.
Well, you know, that's something that's kind of surprised me as well. I know that recently I was speaking at a particular church, and I came across one individual who lost his wife recently. And what he did was he wanted to get in contact with her, so he went to what he believed was a Christian psychic. Now, this is where it gets tricky, because it sounds like if you go to a Christian psychic, that must be okay.
Yeah.
But that's really an oxymoron.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, I mean, there's no such thing as a Christian psychic, because God condemns all psychic phenomena. And what really is interesting is that when you watch the Larry King show and you see psychics like Sylvia Brown, for example, she'll get on there and say that she's a Christian psychic and that she has a psychic gift from the Holy Spirit. And she'll tell you that she does everything for the glory of God. And she will also warn you against false prophets and false Christs, and she will also warn you against involvement in the occult.
Hmm.
Now, do you see what's happening there?
Yeah.
You know, in a backhanded kind of a way, she's giving herself a pat on the back, making like what she's doing is okay. Just stay away from that other bad stuff.
Right.
You know, and so it's very tricky. A lot of people in the church are falling for it. But Scripture is absolutely clear in Deuteronomy 18 and many other verses that God forbids and prohibits all contact with the dead. He prohibits witchcraft. He prohibits all forms of spiritism and psychic phenomena. So if you think you're going to see a Christian psychic, you need to sit down and think again.
Right.
Because you're being deceived by the enemy of your soul, Satan.
In 1 John 4:1, a verse that I thought was very relevant to what we're discussing, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And I think that's part of what I'd like to explore with you today, is to test these spirits. And something that you did really well in your book was examining exactly what's going on here. 505-338-5790, if you have a question for Ron Rhodes, who wrote the book, The Truth Behind Ghosts, Mediums, and Psychic Phenomena. And we'll take your questions all throughout the hour as we examine this topic and test the spirits ourselves. Now, Mr. Rhodes, I thought it was also fascinating in your book where you talked about 38% of Americans not only believe that ghosts exist, but that they can come back and visit us. And when I was reading that statistic, I was thinking, you know, this just can't be 38% of non-church-going Christians believe this. You know, it didn't seem like it was an exclusionary statistic. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but that seemed like a big chunk of America, Christians and non-Christians, that believe in ghosts, and who knows, my house could be haunted by my grandma and stuff of that nature.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is 38% of mainstream America. You know, and so that means that out of 1,000 people in a building, 380 of them believe that ghosts or spirits can come back and visit us. And I think personally that this is probably the reason why you've got so many hit television shows that focus on ghosts and the paranormal.
Right.
It's kind of interesting because this past year, 14 of the brand new pilots for TV shows were actually based upon ghosts and the paranormal. And you had all kinds of different networks getting involved, not just your mainstream networks like ABC and NBC, but you know, also the Biography Channel and the Travel Channel, of all things. And so they're all going after this market, and it's a huge market. You know, over one-third of Americans believe in it. And here's something else that just boggles my mind. You would think that the more educated you get, the less likely it would be that you would believe in this. I mean, wouldn't that make sense?
It would make sense to me.
Well, it would to me, too. But, you know, it's precisely the opposite in terms of what the polls are revealing. In fact, what we have discovered is that as students progress through their college years, they become increasingly likely to believe in paranormal concepts. For example, one study at one college found that 23% of the freshmen believed in paranormal concepts, and 31% of seniors believed in paranormal concepts. And then those who went on to do graduate work, 34% of them believed in such concepts. So it seems like every year of education that you get, you're more likely to believe in this kind of stuff. And so, you know, like I said, this is something that boggles the mind, but it's happening. It is real. We need to take it seriously. And for that reason, I think that we need to especially watch after our youth today.
Well, and I want to get back to just how seriously we should take that here in just a moment, Mr. Rhodes. Right now we have Felicia on the line. A question that I had a feeling might come up so far as we're talking about ghosts and all that type of stuff, it being October and whatnot. Welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Felicia?
I just have a question for you guys, actually.
Okay.
Do you believe it's contradictory that a Christian should celebrate Halloween?
Mr. Rhodes, you want to take that before I do?
Well, that is a very, very good question, especially since Halloween's right around the corner. You know, it used to be, in terms of the ancient pagans, that they believed that there were spirits that would make themselves especially ugly and go around attacking people who hadn't provided for them after life. You know, when a person died among the ancient people, you were supposed to burn a little paper house and a, you know, a paper horse and stuff like that. And that was supposed to give dead people a house of their own and a horse and stuff like that. And if you didn't take care of your ancestors, then they would come back to haunt you and they would dress up real ugly. So the ancient pagans thought that if they dressed up ugly on this particular day and put on masks and stuff like that, they would scare off these evil spirits. And that's really where Halloween came from, you know, from an ancient pagan ceremony. Now, today, I think that when people celebrate Halloween, they don't really have much of a religious emphasis on it. In fact, I think most people are completely unaware of that pagan connection. But nevertheless, let me just tell you what I've done in my family with my children. I think it's dangerous to take children from door to door, number one, because you never know if it's going to be tainted with poison.
Right.
So we don't do that.
Right.
But what we do is that our church on a yearly basis has a harvest festival, which is kind of like a alternative to Halloween, where the kids dress up. And they don't dress up in anything demonic looking. You know, they just dress up in fun stuff. And that we still provide lots of candy, you know, so it's kind of like an alternative way to have fun. And at the same time, we always keep somebody at home so that when anybody rings a doorbell, we can open up the door and we can put a gospel track along with some candy
into
their bag.
Right, that's what we do that.
I think it's a good idea. It's a good way to reach people that otherwise might not be reached.
Right.
Does that answer your question, Felicia?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
All right, and let me just
add. Thank you for calling.
Let me just add to that. You know, so far as the issue of Halloween, which we'll get into more later this month on Raw Talk, it's a day that I've just never been comfortable with letting Satan have. You know, there's been people I've talked to who are like, oh no, we withdraw, we retreat, we turn off all the lights, no one comes to our door, we're just not going to have anything to do with it.
And I know some people like that.
Yeah, and that just always felt like surrender to me, and that's something that I've never been comfortable with doing so far as it comes to the enemy. We have Greg on the line with us. Greg, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Yeah, well, this is kind of a topic that you kind of you already moved on a little bit, so we're kind of backtracking a little bit.
Backtracking is totally okay.
My your speaker had made a comment about why aren't we teaching it in schools and teaching them about it when they're younger and whatnot. And, you know, no offense to paranormal activities and all that stuff, but I just think there's more important issues at hand when you're a younger kid. I think dealing with paranormal activity and all that is just not what's important, you know. I think that they're dealing with larger issues in hand. Youth pastors should be more worried about, you know, their kids and dealing with their battles against, you know, sex and drugs and drinking and some things that, you know, that happen in everyday, in their everyday walk. I think, you know, focusing on the paranormal and whatnot is just not really a huge issue. And I think that's why, you know, a youth pastor wouldn't deal with that issue as much, or in schools they don't teach about it because, you know, there's more important things to teach about in school. You know, they don't have a whole lot of time, and, you know, they have a lot to learn in that limited amount of time. And, you know, teaching about paranormals is just not a top priority.
What do you think, Mr. Rhodes?
Let me just say that I'm all for, I think you're right in emphasizing education on sex and, you know, some of these other things, because that's very much a need. I know that statistically speaking, far too many of our young people are involved in premarital sex, and, you know, they end up getting sexual diseases, and a pregnancy sometimes emerges, and then that causes a whole new set of decisions to be made. So I'm all for that heavy emphasis, but at the same time, one of the things that we've discovered about teenagers involved in occultism is that almost without exception, they become suicidal, they become extremely depressed, they start to develop all kinds of emotional problems. They withdraw from society. They start to become loners and distant from their loved ones, including their parents. In other words, all kinds of difficulties emerge as a result of affiliating with occultism. It is a dark, dark subject, and it has implications far beyond going to a party and playing with a Ouija board. But like I said, it causes all kinds of new difficulties. So for that reason, I think that it is extremely important that our young people be warned about this kind of thing. And not only that, I think it's extremely important because God himself says it's important. If God in the Bible prohibits and absolutely forbids something, is it to be okay with the youth pastor for our kids to get into that stuff, even though God has forbidden it? I don't think so.
Right.
I think that pastors ought to be aware of what God's Word says so that when something comes along in our society like occultism, they'll be able to take a strong stand against it and to help our young people get a solid foundation on a solid rock, and his name is Jesus Christ.
And I understand with a lot that you're saying, but a couple bullet points. One, just because the youth pastors don't teach or talk about it doesn't mean they are agreeing or disagreeing with the topic at hand. You know, obviously youth pastors aren't going to go to the, you know, kids who are 15 to 18 years old and be like, okay, guys, we're going to talk about divorce today. You know, it's just not something, you know, it's not something that, you know, that is necessary for you know, it's just not necessary. Now, just because they don't talk about it doesn't mean that they're condoning it or not condoning it. Now, going back to what you originally said about...
Let's stop right there, though, and just address that issue. If the youth pastor was aware of something that would be extremely damaging to the students that were within his class or his group of people at church, would you think that it would be perfectly acceptable for him to not share helpful information that he has that would save some of his own kids and some of his own children from suffering and being hurt and from perhaps even committing suicide? Would you think that that's perfectly okay, or do you think he might have a responsibility, if he has knowledge that would help his kids, does he have a responsibility to share that knowledge?
Absolutely. If a youth pastor saw that someone was dealing with an issue like that, absolutely they need to address that issue. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, they shouldn't look the other way and say, oh, you know, they can deal with their own problems. I absolutely agree with, if the issue is there, dealing with the issue. The only thing is, I just think that there's, you know, you had first talked about, you know, cults and it leads to suicide and all this stuff. The thing is, by numbers, I mean, I don't know the numbers, I don't have any numbers in front of me, but how many, you know, people in the U.S. Went to a cult and died last year? Now,
well, yeah, that's a fair question. That's a fair question, but here's the comparison, okay? not everybody who drinks is going to have an accident and die while they drive. But nevertheless, the statistics prove that there is a much higher rate of car accidents among people who drink while they drive. In the same way, not everybody who participates in occultism is going to be involved in suicide, but the experts have noticed an increased percentage of young people, I'm talking about people 13 to 19, who participate in occultism and psychic phenomena and stuff like that, who have a much greater propensity towards suicide than the general population. So that's all I'm saying. There's an increased percentage of people that are, you know, that become suicidal as a result of involvement in the occult. And that's not to say that everybody does, because that's far from the truth. But there is an increased number of people. Now, if I was a youth pastor and I became aware of our community that, you know, that there was a number of kids getting involved in various forms of psychic phenomena, whether it was consulting a medium or playing with Ouija boards or whatever it was, and if I was aware personally of the fact that the more you get involved in this stuff, the greater propensity there is for kids to have or get involved in a suicide, I would feel responsible as a youth pastor to share that more as a preventive. You know, taking steps to prevent our kids from getting in trouble is just as important as taking somebody who's already in trouble and getting them out once they're in trouble. You see, and right. So that's one of the reasons why I think that youth pastors have a responsibility to equip young people, you know, not so much for, you know, kids that may be already involved, but to prevent them from getting involved in the first place, because I know that we all want our kids to have the optimal, you know, Christian life. And not only that, it's good to equip our kids because the chances are that many of our teenage kids are going to actually have friends who get involved in psychic phenomena. Well, so doesn't it make sense to train them so that they themselves could help others? And isn't that what Christ himself taught us to do?
Now, Greg, I appreciate you calling in, man. And we got some other people on the line. And I appreciate you bringing up the point of just how important this may or may not be. But we're going to move on to some other callers. And I know we didn't resolve anything here.
Hey, thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, but we really appreciate calling in, Greg. So you have a great night, all right?
Yeah, appreciate your call.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back. Jeanette is on the line, and she has a question. And let me just say, along what Greg brought up, how important is it for teenagers to know this? Here's the deal. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. The spiritual realm is real, and whether we like it or not, we're a part of it, according to what the Bible says. And in that case, all I would have to say, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance would be extremely dangerous. We're going to come back and talk more about the truth behind ghosts, mediums, and psychic phenomenon here in just a moment. Raw Talk on M88. And welcome back to Raw Talk here on M88, the program where we want to challenge you, encourage you, and most of all, get you to think about stuff. And that's what we're doing tonight as we talk about the truth behind ghosts, mediums, and psychic phenomena. And we've already had a lively discussion so far. Greg, I forgot to mention, we do have a copy of Ron Rhodes' book. If you would like a copy of that, give us a call back and we'll get your info so we can get you a copy of Ron Rhodes' book, The Truth Behind Ghosts, Mediums, and Psychic Phenomena. And Jeanette has been waiting on the line forever. Jeanette, thank you so much for your patience, and you're on Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just trying to explain to my grandchildren what a Ouija board is, and I'm having a hard time.
Okay.
One of my kids brought one home one time, so I want my grandkids to be aware before they're exposed to it.
All right. Mr. Rhodes?
Well, a Ouija board is something that is used for divination. It's a wooden board that has a pointer, and the pointer can point towards letters or numbers on the board. And it is allegedly moved, or the pointer is moved, by a spirit with whom the individual is seeking to make contact with. And so we say that this is a form of divination because divination involves the attempt to gain secret knowledge by some means. So if you use a Ouija board that allegedly has a pointer that a spirit moves to point to different letters and numbers, then that would be a means of obtaining secret information. Now, God, of course, condemns this, but here's something for you to think about. I've read all the books by the major psychics today, like James Von Prague and Sylvia Brown and John Edward and all the others. And one of the things they say is that no one should mess around with a Ouija board because that brings a person in contact with the darkest energies there are. Now, that's the words they use, darkest energies.
Wow.
Now, you and I know that these are demonic spirits. But my point is that if even psychics weren't about the danger of the Ouija board, then the Ouija board must be dangerous indeed. And so I think that even though it's a popular game and though kids like to play it, especially at parties, kids have no idea that they're actually playing with spiritual fire.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Hey, you're welcome. My prayers are with you.
Jeanette, hang on the line just a second, and we'll get you a copy of this book so you can learn a little bit more about this topic, and you'll be better equipped, all right?
That's wonderful.
All right, so hang on, and we'll get your information, get you a copy of Ron Rhodes' book. Now, in your book, you talk about how one-third of teenagers have played with a Ouija board or read a book about witchcraft. And again, another statistic that I found actually kind of mind-blowing, so far as, you know, kids just don't realize what they're getting into. And I think the thing that in your book that I found really interesting is towards the end of it, you were talking about how, yeah, you know, this opens up kids to some dangerous spiritual activity. But a lot of the psychics who are involved in this are actually experiencing some dangerous activity themselves. And real quick before you comment on that, Mr. Rhodes, 505-338-5790. If you have a question about the truth behind ghosts, mediums, and psychic phenomenon, give us a call here on Raw Talk. We want to hear what you have. Even if you have an opinion about it, we'd love to hear what you have to say about some of this paranormal, supernatural stuff. But going back to what I was saying about even the psychics are experiencing some pretty bad stuff from just doing their jobs, as it were.
Well, that's right. And a lot of people are unaware of this because when you watch psychics on television, it seems like they have their act together. It seems like they're doing real well. But behind the scenes, they're having some encounters with some pretty dark entities out there. And I've actually got a number of friends who are now Christians, but they used to be involved in occultism. You know, they used to be psychics themselves. They used to be channelers who got into contact with spirit entities out there. And one of the things they told me is that they thought that by meditating on white light or emerald light would protect them from these evil spirits. But just think about that. Do you think that there's any protective power in meditating on light?
I can't
imagine.
Well,
not really.
Yeah.
I think Satan must be laughing his head off at these, you know, psychics who think that white light is protecting them from something. The reality is that many of these people who are participating in psychic phenomena end up having encounters with entities that scare them. Now, do you remember a couple years ago, I think there was some movie that came out, and people, you know, the advertisement said something like, be afraid, be very afraid.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing is that if you mess around with psychic phenomena, you come to understand the meaning of that phrase. And in fact, some of the people who are psychics who have encountered some of these strange entities, you know, they'll tell you the true meaning of be afraid, be very afraid, because
right.
It is a horrifying thing. I mean, you're talking about stuff that goes on in the night. You know, you wake up and all of a sudden there are some things that you're encountering that are unexplainable. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I want to protect our children, because our teenagers really have no idea that by participating in seances and messing around with Ouija boards, I mean, this is not a harmless activity.
Right.
You're actually messing around with a form of occultism that God condemns. And one of the reasons why I wrote the book was to warn people about that.
Well, and you pointed out in your book, excuse me, and I thought this was a great point, you know, that Satan, above all, is a deceiver. He's the father of lies. And when it comes to all this paranormal activity that people think is, oh, so harmless, or, you know, if you meditate on white light, you'll be okay, and all that type of stuff, that's just a bunch of hooey. And, you know, Satan's probably trying to propagate those lies as much as possible because it makes people feel safe, and then he's free to roam around and do whatever he wants. And then if the church is remaining ignorant of all this, well, they're not doing anything to stop him either.
Well, the verse that you allude to, John 8:44, talks about how Satan is the father of lies, but the text also says that he's a murderer, and that he was a murderer from the beginning. And one of the things we see in Scripture is that there's a pattern, and that is that the lies that Satan propagates lead to murder in some way. You know, it might be emotional murder, it might be spiritual murder, it might even be physical murder, like in terms of the suicides that can sometimes happen. But the fact is that Satan delights in leading people astray and destroying them.
Right.
And one of the ways in which he's doing this is getting people in bondage to occultism. And I have to tell you that Hollywood has whitewashed all this.
Yeah, they have.
You know, old-fashioned occultism has been sort of given a makeover by Hollywood so that it appears very good. You know, like we've got this movie, this television show called Ghost Whisperer.
Right.
Another show called The Medium. Another show on haunted houses and stuff like that. And the way that Hollywood portrays it, it should be for everyone.
Right.
There's no danger. It can only help us. But in fact, this whitewash doesn't change the fact that you're actually messing around with old-fashioned occultism, which God condemns. And, you know, I wish I could, you know, tell you how many files I have in my office here that talk about people who have been injured in some way, whether it's emotional or spiritual or even have committed suicide as a result of involvement in paranormal phenomena. So, you know, what we're talking about is no unimportant subject. This is
right.
An extremely important subject.
We have Caitlin on the line, and Caitlin has a question. Welcome to Raw Talk, Caitlin. What do you have to say?
I first had a comment to make about a previous caller that disagreed with teaching about paranormia.
Okay.
And youth programs.
Uh-huh.
And I happen to disagree with his comment. You know, I agree with the Mr. Rhodes here that it should be taught. Just Friday in class, I was asked if I wanted to have my palm read.
Really?
You know, and everyone else is just like, oh, that's cool, you know, that kid's going to have two kids in his future. You know, that kid's going to have five kids. Start saving money now. And so,
wow.
You know, and so it's just kind of like, I saw that, and it was offered to me. And, you know, back of my mind, I'm just like, yeah, that's cool, but I don't want to mess around with that because, you know, I know that God forbids from,
good for you,
you know, that type of thing. So, and it should be taught just
right.
Because some of those people in there, you know, went to my church and they're just like, oh, that's cool that, you know, there's so many different lines on my hands that I just want to know what the purpose is for that.
Well, see, you're a perfect illustration of what we're talking about here because a lot of kids in church are just unaware that there's any danger whatsoever. It sounds like you have a higher level of discernment than some of your friends.
Good job,
maybe
Jeanette.
You've already been, you know, taught by somebody that there are some dangers involved in this. But, you know, I think that you're right. You know, all the kids in churches, they need to be warned about this stuff because, like I said, it is a form of divination which is anti-God and anti-Christian.
Now, Caitlin, you had a question. What's your question?
The question is, you know, I haven't ever been taught about the paranormia except for, you know, a few of the things from my parents. But the question I have is, I've read in the Bible before that when Jesus rose back from the dead and he appeared with the disciples, you know, they asked him if he was a ghost. And
Right.
What?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. They asked if he was a ghost, and Jesus never said, no, that doesn't exist or anything to, you know, say that ghosts don't exist. He just said, let me prove to you that I'm not a ghost. So, that kind of puzzled me as to, like, you know, does that mean that ghosts do exist or, you know, what's that?
Well, that's a very good point. I'm glad that you brought that up. Actually, the word ghost comes from the German word Geist, and the German word Geist means spirit. So really what Jesus was addressing was the issue as to whether he had really physically raised from the dead or whether he was just a spirit. But your question about whether ghosts exist, I think, is a legitimate one. And the answer to the question is this. There are spirits of dead people, but they're not available on earth. In other words, when a person dies, and if you're a Christian, your spirit immediately leaves your body and goes to be with Jesus in heaven. And we learn that from Philippians 1:21 and 2 Corinthians 5:8 and numerous other verses. By contrast, if you are a non-Christian and you die, your spirit leaves the body and goes to a place of holding, a place of punishment, where they await the future judgment, after which they will be thrown into the lake of fire. We see that in Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. And so my point is that we don't have spirits roaming around on earth, that is to say, dead human spirits, roaming around on earth acting as ghosts. We do have demonic spirits who are impersonating ghosts, And that's one of the points I make in my book. We learn from Scripture, the Apostle Paul tells us that Satan and demons have the ability to mimic an angel of light. And if they have the ability to mimic an angel of light, I believe that they also have the ability to mimic ghosts. And they're willing to do so if the end result will be that millions of people will be deceived away from believing in Jesus Christ. So that's the danger that we're facing.
Does that answer
your... Does that make sense?
Does that make sense, Caitlin? All right.
Yes,
well,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. And we have a copy of the book. I'm going to put you on hold if you'd like. Would you like a copy of Ron's book?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get your info, and we'll get you a copy of Ron's book. So hang on, all right? All right, and we got a lot of calls, so we're just going to keep on blowing through these, all right?
All right, sounds
good. All right,
here
we go. We have Suzanne on the line, and she actually has a two-part question for us. Suzanne, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
The two questions I have is, first of all, how do you tell the difference between psychic conversation and prophetic utterance? And then the second question is, if someone... say a medium or a psychic goes to the police with knowledge of a kidnapped child or things like that, is that acceptable? My pastor and I have had this conversation, and he believes that you just don't use that information. But if it saves a child's life, that's my question.
Okay, well, those are two good questions. Let's begin with the prophetic one first. You know, what's the difference between a prophetic utterance and psychic phenomena? I think one of the primary things is the prophets always speak from God, and God always initiates the communication. In other words, you don't have prophets standing around saying, I'm now going to prophesy for God, and then they start speaking. Rather, what happens is that God decides he wants to speak, and then he speaks through a prophet. And that's why they always say in the Bible, thus saith the Lord. You know, the Lord tells them to say something, and then they say it. And, you know, another key thing to keep in mind before I get to the psychics is that whenever a prophet speaks, he's dead accurate, 100% accurate in all predictions. Now, by contrast, a psychic does not wait for, you know, God to speak or anything like that. Rather, a psychic just starts his own communication with dead people. Doesn't communicate with God, but he claims to communicate with dead people. And the psychic always initiates that discussion. And furthermore, whenever the psychic makes predictions, the likelihood is that it's not going to come to pass. Now, every once in a while, they might seem to be accurate. But if you read my book, one thing you'll find is all kinds of documentation about how inaccurate psychics have been. And I provide numerous examples for that. So I think that that's probably the primary thing to keep in mind in terms of answering your first question. Now, your second question, again, remind me what that was about.
Well, there have been examples of psychics that go to the police and
found,
you know, missing children or whatever.
Right. Let me say, first of all, that police rarely go to psychics on their own initiative, and I talk about this in the book. Almost without exception, it is the families of the victim who go to the police and ask them to consult a psychic. An FBI agent that I discuss in my book talks about how they never put stock in, you know, psychic phenomena because almost always the information is so general as to not be truly helpful. For example, they might say, the child is in a house with brown shutters. Well, you know, there's just, you know, a couple of thousand houses in a large city that have brown shutters. Or it might be something, you know, general in terms of the color of the house. Maybe they might say it's a white house with green bushes in front. In most cases, that's what ends up happening, and in most cases, there's no genuine help that is offered in these psychic communications. Now, the reason I'm pointing this out is that if you watch television, sometimes some of these fiction television shows you see give the impression that police are always getting hot tips from psychics that prove to be dead-on accurate, and that's just a misrepresentation. It really is. That every once in a while, a psychic may be accurate. And in that case, I believe that that psychic's probably in contact with a demonic spirit who has provided that information. But in many, 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 many cases, the information is inaccurate.
Does that help you out, Susan?
Or not use that information, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, as a Christian, no, you shouldn't. I wouldn't. I wouldn't go to the psychic in the first place because, you know, I know what God says about it. But I also know that the information that is derived from a psychic comes from a demonic spirit. And therefore, I will not personally have anything to do with it. And based upon my knowledge, that almost without exception, no true help comes from a psychic to the police department, I wouldn't put any stock in it. Now, that may seem a little bit harsh, but I want you to know that I say that based upon the Word of God and what the Word of God commands in terms of psychic phenomena. Did you know what the penalty was for consulting a psychic was in the Old Testament?
Death.
It was death. Now, we don't have that today. You know, nobody gets put to death today for being a psychic. But back in the Old Testament, if they discovered that you consulted a psychic, it was the death penalty. And the reason for that is that it's such an abomination to God. In fact, the Hebrew word is detestable. It is detestable to God. And really, in the Hebrew language, there's no stronger word that can be found to indicate how horrible something is to God's mind. And so just based upon that, you know, I would never have anything to do with any psychic or what they have to say about solving any particular police case.
Not only that, but the Old Testament also said if you came across a medium or a psychic, they should be put to death.
Right. Yeah, it was a pretty strict penalty, but that just shows you how strongly God felt about it. Now, let me issue another warning, and that is earlier in the show we talked about people who claim to be a Christian psychic. I don't know if you were listening when I talked about that, but the fact is that many psychics today claim to have a gift of the Holy Spirit and that they are Christian psychics. And I don't want Christians to fall for that because God condemns all psychic phenomena. He condemns all contact with the dead. It's forbidden. It is something that you don't even toy with, according to Scripture. And, you know, I have a heart full of compassion and love for people who have lost a child or somebody else in the family that's been victimized. And I pray that, you know, that they will be found and that the person that perpetrated it will be brought to justice. But consulting a psychic is not the answer.
Well, Suzanne, I hope that ain't...
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
You're saying that prophetic utterance, though, comes without consulting, and I guess that's, how do we test that spirit?
Well, you test anything against the Word of God. 1 John 4:1 says that we are to test all spirits against the Word of God. Can you think of any religions that came from a spirit?
I don't understand
about,
the question.
Well, how about Islam? That came from the angel Gabriel gave revelation to Muhammad. Okay. So that's a religion that came from a spirit. How about Mormonism? Allegedly, the angel Moroni gave Joseph Smith information to found Mormonism. The point that I'm making is that these teachings that come from these spirits are anti-Christian, and when you test those teachings against the Word of God, you see that those teachings are found to contradict the Word of God.
Right.
And therefore, they are to be rejected. That's what it means to test the spirits. You test it against the Word of God. Now, why do I say that? Well, who wrote the Word of God?
God,
the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is never going to say anything contradictory. If the Holy Spirit is inspiring somebody to say something, he's not going to contradict himself. So if a spirit speaks to somebody and says, Jesus is not God, well, I know that that spirit is not the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit who inspired the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus is God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, you know, the Word of God is our standard. It is the barometer of truth against which we test all other truth claims. It is the one standard that will keep us on track spiritually.
Suzanne, thank you so much for calling in. I hope that helps you out.
Thank you.
All right. You have a great
evening.
God
bless you.
And one of the things that you brought up in your book, Ron, that I was just blown away by, just gave me kind of a creepy, tingly feeling all over, is when you were quoting some of the things that psychics have said that was supposedly being told to them from the spirit realm, from other spirits. But, you know, saying things like, oh, the idea that Jesus died to pay people's sins is a misunderstanding, and to truly experience freedom from guilt and blah, we need to put that aside and not worry about that, you know, and some of those quotes that you had in there, which were so, may I even say, blasphemous when it came to how they compared with Scripture, just gave me an icky feeling all over the place. And like, why would anyone buy into this?
Well, you know, that's a good question. You're talking, in the particular case that you just mentioned, quotes from allegedly Jesus that came out of a book called The Course in Miracles.
Right.
And this has been an extremely huge seller. In fact, there's over 1,000 study groups in the United States that meet every week to study the Course in Miracles. And allegedly, this book was written by Jesus through the hand of Helen Schuckman. In other words, Jesus took over the body and the hand of Helen Schuckman and wrote this large book. But the Jesus of this book said stuff like, we don't need to take sin seriously. All this talk about me dying on the cross for man is a bunch of nonsense. It's true that I am the Christ, but you are the Christ too. You know, we are all the Christ. You know, we're all divine. Well, obviously, if you test that Jesus against the Jesus in the Bible, what happens? Well, very clearly, we see that it's contradictory.
Right.
They both cannot have come from the same source. If one came from the Holy Spirit, the other must have come from the unholy spirit, who is Satan. And I mentioned earlier that Satan has the ability to mimic an angel of light, and I think in this case, we have an evil spirit that mimicked or pretended to be Jesus and worked through the person of Helen Schuckman to communicate a huge lie. Yet, this book has been a huge bestseller.
That's just,
and it's been endorsed on a number of popular daytime television shows, and you know, boggles my mind why people would want to buy
it. Just, when I was reading that, I was just so disturbed in my spirit that, you know, first of all, someone would be bold enough to say that. I'm like, do you realize what kind of trouble you're going to get into saying this kind of stuff?
You know, it seems to me, when you look at the different lies that have come out about Jesus Christ and sin and salvation, not only in terms of the psychics that we're talking about right now, but also the world of the cults. You got all kinds of different cults that Satan has inspired. It seems to me that Satan is a niche marketer. In other words, he's created something for everyone. So no matter what your desire is, Satan's got a cult out there or some kind of psychic phenomena out there that will appeal to you.
Yeah.
And in every case, he has set up these different cults and false religions with a view towards drawing people away from Jesus Christ. And man, it is war.
Yeah.
The war is on, and the question is, will you be a soldier engaged in the battle, or will you be a casualty on the sideline? You see, it's my hope that those who are listening to my voice will not be a casualty on the sideline, having been deceived by Satan, but rather would be a soldier involved in the fight. You know, Christ calls us to be soldiers and to be the light of the world. So let's not shrink back. Let's not let Satan take this ground. Let's stand strong in the Word of God
right. And
set forth the truth in the face of all of this false doctrine.
Yeah, and good soldiers generally aren't ignorant of exactly what's going on in the battlefield. So as long
Christians are... you've got to know the game plan.
Right, as long as
and
Christians
also you've
are...
got to know your enemy. And there's only one way to know your enemy. And that is by reading the Word of God, because the Word of God gives us everything that we need to know about our enemy and also provides us armor to wear, according to Ephesians 6, and also gives us an effective weapon, which is the Word of God, which you can use to bring down every false idea that exists.
Yeah.
And that's really what my book is intended to do. It's intended to take average Christians who don't have a seminary degree, but the book will help people to understand exactly what this war is all about, to understand all about psychic phenomena and what you as a Christian can do about it.
Well, we got one more caller that we're going to squeeze in, then we'll wrap things up. Daniel, we've only got a few minutes, so let's try and make your question quick. It's actually a question that isn't all that surprising since we're in New Mexico, what with Roswell and all that type of stuff. Daniel, what do you have to say? Welcome to Raw Talk.
Thank you. Talking about spiritual deception, I heard a friend of mine who's Christian also told me that during the last days after the rapture occurs, that the Antichrist is going to attribute the rapture to alien abductions. I just wanted to ask you, has he heard anything about that, and what's his opinion about that theory?
Well, that's a very good question. In fact, I did write a book on this phenomenon called Alien Obsession. And in that book, I point out that there are already millions of New Agers who believe that there is a time coming in which UFOs are going to swoop down and take people off the planet, the troublemakers, that is to say, Christians. And they have a word for this event, rapture. So the point is that whenever this event occurs, and we don't know when it's going to occur, but when the rapture occurs, Satan has an explanation ready, and he's got something that's going to make sense to a lot of people so that it doesn't seem like it was an act of God. But you know what? God's spirit is still going to work among people after the rapture, and we're going to still see plenty of conversions after the rapture, you know, people turning to the true God. So, you know, Satan's going to be defeated in the end.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Daniel. Hope that helps you out.
Thank you.
All right. Now,
God bless you, man.
Ron, to wrap things up, you were talking right before we went to Daniel's question about what Christians can do about ghosts, psychics, mediums, and all that type of stuff. So to end things, let's end on a practical footing here. What exactly can Christians do to be engaged in this war that's going on, and, you know, not to be overly obsessed with this, you know, not to have a dangerous interest in it, but also to not be completely ignorant? What can we do?
Well, really, that's the reason why I wrote the book. I think that what we need to do is to sharpen our discernment skills so that we can recognize that there's a problem. And the way to do that is just to begin by understanding what the Bible has to say about this to begin with, to understand that dead humans are not truly available for human for psychic contact. We need to understand that Scripture gives no support to this idea, but rather condemns it thoroughly. We need to understand what the Bible has to say about Satan and his deception, his masquerading to deceive people. We need to be able to test things against the Word of God according to the formula in 1 John 4, verse 1. We need to understand what psychics who have become Christians say about this. I include some of that information in the book as well. All of this is with a view toward increasing our discernment on psychic phenomena. And it's a necessary thing in view of the fact that we've got people who are swallowing this stuff up wholesale. Not just adults, but our young people, as I pointed out earlier. So to me, there's never been a more important time than for us to become discerning on matters of the paranormal, because, in fact, the paranormal has become the new normal for many people in this country.
That's right, and it's one of the things that you point out in your book, and like I said at the beginning of the program, it's one of the things I never really stopped to consider, but once you point out how many TV shows and movies and stuff, like you go to a place like a bookstore, one of the big bookstore chains, you'll have tarot card readings right there in the bookstore.
Absolutely.
Which always makes me a little uncomfortable, because I'm like, man, why are you doing this? I'm just looking for a book, and you're invading my space. And I've often wondered, you know, what would happen if I went up to them and say, hey, could you leave, please? You and all your little spirits. I don't want you in here while I'm shopping. But I'm not going to do that, because, you know, I guess they have their right to be there.
Well, you know, the key thing is that everybody not only has to be educated for themselves, but also for the sake of their loved ones.
Right.
You know, if you really care about people the way that Jesus says we ought to care about people, then you're going to want to have this information, because this information is the one thing that can help rescue somebody from, you know, becoming a victim of the kingdom of darkness. You know, I want to make sure as many people as possible get into the kingdom of light. So, you know, my goal in life is to help equip people towards that end. And that's why I think we need to take this information about ghosts and mediums and psychics very seriously.
Well, thank you very much, Ron Rhodes, for joining us. I certainly appreciate you giving of your time to be with us tonight.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and your book, like I said, I got a chance to read it, opened my eyes to a lot of things, and also encouraged me in a lot of things as well as I read it. And it's like, all right, I'm not going to be ignorant about this. I'm not going to be stupid, but at least I know what I'm getting into and what I can do about it. So thank you very much, Ron.
Well, thank you.
And
God bless you.
You have a blessed evening as well. And I just want to conclude Raw Talk tonight by telling you this is kind of a scary thing that we've been talking about. The fact is, the spiritual realm is real. Demons are real, and they don't like you. They don't like you at all. In fact, Satan and all of his demons would like to see you destroyed. But there's good news for anyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a victim of the kingdom of darkness, of Satan and his minions. But you can be sealed in the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's not that hard. And really, it's the only way that we can win the war when it comes to spiritual phenomena. And if you would like to know more, if you would like to find out how you can be saved for all of eternity, never have to worry about the spiritual forces of darkness coming against you again and making you into a victim, by all means, get in touch with us here at M88. We can tell you how you can become a son of God, a child of the God Most High, a person of light, because the light, Jesus Christ, is inside of you, and that will drive off any evil force that will ever come against you. Send us an email, studio@m88.org. If you would like to know more, we will help you get in touch with people who can provide you with resources, pray with you, and help you find the one true answer when it comes to the truth behind ghosts, psychics and mediums and paranormal phenomena. So just want to leave that with you tonight, and I encourage you not to delay. As darkness gathers, as the end times grow closer, things are going to get even scarier, and there's only one way to find security. That's going to wrap things up for Raw Talk here on M88.